FBN LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance LLC and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions may apply. NMLS ID 1631119.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that wasn't your fault, we have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions. They'll tell you if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-948-5880. So if you've been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, call now. Find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-948-5880 to speak with a live person now.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center. May not be available in all states.
Longing for thick, healthy, gorgeous hair? Hair Volume from New Nordic is trusted by millions of women around the world. With clinically proven ingredients like apple extract, biotin, and millet, Hair Volume nourishes your hair follicles to promote thicker, healthier looking hair. Say goodbye to shedding thin and dull hair, and hello to thick, healthy hair with Hair Volume. Hair Volume is available online at Amazon, Walmart.com, NewNordicUSA.com, or at your local CVS.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. The Supreme Court kicking an abortion rights case back down to lower courts today, but in doing so, opened the door for women in Idaho to get emergency abortions to protect their health. Nearly 200 people have been charged in a sweeping nationwide crackdown on healthcare fraud schemes, with claims topping $2.7 billion, according to the Justice Department. Attorney General Merrick Garland announcing charges against doctors, nurse practitioners, and more, accused in a variety of scams.
We allege that the defendants caused unnecessary, highly expensive wound grafts to be applied to elderly Medicare patients, many of whom were terminally ill in hospice care.
Garland said one scheme in Arizona was worth $900 million. In what is now the first medical evacuation from the Gaza Strip since May, Israeli authorities say 68 people, including sick and injured children, have been allowed out of the Gaza Strip and into Egypt. This is ABC News. More clashes between police and protesters in Nairobi, Kenya, over a contentious finance bill that would raise taxes. The skirmishes taking place despite the president's decision not to sign the legislation. The measure previously sparked deadly protests in Nairobi. A day after his return home, Julian Assange's wife and lawyers visiting with lawmakers in Australia's parliament.
Heartfelt words from Stella Assange.
I'm eternally grateful to everyone who has made this possible. In this building, the group of friends from across the political spectrum who came together on this issue.
Lawyer Barry Pollack says the next chapter of Assange's story is yet to be written.
He's a man who has stood by his ideals, stood by his convictions, generated a worldwide discussion, and I think we're all better off for it.
Tom Rivers, ABC News at the Foreign Desk.
A new study finding the average American driver lost 42 hours last year stuck in traffic, according to analytics company INREX. I'm Mark Remillard, ABC News.
My friends swim no matter the season, but my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis can sometimes take me out of the moment. Now, thanks to Skyrizi and clear skin, count me in. With Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist-prescribed biologic in psoriasis. And visit SkyRizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Tad Allen. A teenager accused in the death of a counselor at Lincoln Hill School is being charged as an adult.
Investigators say Corey Prue was assaulted by 16-year-old Javarius Hurd on Monday. The attack caused Prue to hit his head on a hard surface, leading to a loss of brain function. He was pronounced dead on Tuesday. According to investigators, Heard may have pre-planned the attack because he thought he was being treated unfairly by staff at Lincoln Hills. Heard is being held on a $100,000 cash bond, facing felony counts for murder and reckless homicide. Mike Leishner, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Governor Tony Evers has ordered U.S. and state of Wisconsin flags to fly at half-staff to honor Prue through sunset tonight. The governor adds that flags will also fly at half-staff on the day of Prue's interment. That hasn't been determined yet. Two people are dead following a crash in Waukesha County Wednesday morning. Sheriff's office there says a truck driven by a 49-year-old man in the city of Pewaukee rear-ended the car of a 76-year-old woman who died from the collision. The driver of the truck then continued into a road construction zone, hitting two workers. One of them, a 46-year-old man, died at a hospital, while the other, a 47-year-old man, received non-life-threatening injuries. The man driving the truck also suffered non-life-threatening injuries. The busy intersection was shut down for 4 hours following the crash, which authorities are investigating. One youth is dead, another critically injured after a possible drowning incident in Lake Michigan Wednesday night. The Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office says three juveniles were reported in distress in the water at a park along the lake in Oak Creek. First responders found one of the youths dead in the choppy waters of the lake, while two others were rescued. One of them, who was reported to be gasping for air, was hospitalized and is in critical condition. There's no word on the ages of the juveniles nor what led up to the incident. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. A high pressure system dominates the day, bringing calm winds, partly sunny skies, and cooler highs in the mid-70s. Clouds will start to thicken tonight as light showers push in tomorrow morning, and then storm chances spark up again at night. If you owe back taxes, call Tax Solutions now, 1-800-281-8193. Right now, it's 75 degrees.
Mixed trade in the grains today. Wheat futures saw solid gains with corn and soybean prices under pressure. And the bear spreads worked in corn and soybeans today, too. Live and feeder cattle were mostly lower in a downside correction, while sellers marched back into the hog market and just retook control of price action.
Live, dotting the H's and crossing the P's, via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, it's a conversation with Jeff Peterson from Heartland Farm Partners. Directly following the news, Oliver Slope from Blue Line Futures, I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, say hello to the host of AgriTalk, Jeff Flory.
All right, Davis. Hey, buddy. How you doing? Everything good?
Super terrific.
Good.
How about you?
Good. Really good. It's kind of a nice day up here in northeast Iowa.
Yeah.
Wait, scratch that. 79 degrees.
Okay.
79 degrees. But the humidity is very nice and feels pretty good out there.
So. Good. It's a little warm. It's 88 degrees here. So we've definitely had some respite. Anything less than 100 degrees now feels just about right, to be honest.
Right. But heads up for tonight, huh? It sounds like we might, there are some areas in the Central Plains that might get back into it.
Yes. Yep. Certainly possible there. We'll have to keep the eyes on the skies. Watch your weather, folks, locally.
That's right. And the start of the weekend is going to be a little rough in some areas as well. So,
yeah, I got Royals tickets, bro. It's supposed to rain for a little bit, about a half inch, I think.
Yeah.
At noon, we got a 3:10 first pitch.
Oh.
So I don't know.
Well, hopefully it'll be good to go.
I think so.
Yeah. Hopefully that shower will come through and just make it so nice for you out there in your Hawaiian shirts.
That's right. Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be beautiful.
It's report day. We had the quarterly hogs and pigs report was out at the top of the hour. All hogs and pigs on June 1, up 1.27%. The trade was looking for an increase of 0.8%. Kept for breeding. Wow. Total numbers down 3.19%. The trade was looking for a 2.7% decline. And market hog numbers on June 1, up 1.68%. The trade was looking for 1.2%. I'm going to call it a little negative. I don't know what else to call it. We'll find out. We'll see what Jeff thinks about it. Jeff Peterson, Heartland Farm Partners, coming up here in just a little bit. Looks a little negative to me on the H&P report. We'll see what Jeff thinks. All right, let's get to the markets. What do you got?
Well, Chip, yesterday's slightly higher wheat markets turned into aggressive short covering ahead of tomorrow's reports from USDA. Statistics Canada this morning also estimated all wheat acres at 26.641 million. That's down about 400,000 from March intentions and about 300,000 fewer than traders expected. Export sales of wheat in the weekend of June 20 totaled just over 667,000 metric tons. That topped trade expectations for a second consecutive week to add some buying incentive. December soft red winter wheat futures opened near session lows and closed on session highs and back on the top side of $6 for the first time this week. December HRW wheat futures 12.5 cents higher at 611.5. December SRW wheat up 18.5 to 601.5. September spring wheat closed at 618. That's up 14 cents on the day. Hello, six handle in the wheats.
Yeah, it was a nice move back to the upside in the wheat trade today. We got to have follow through into the end of the week. That's the bottom line, and that's going to be determined by the acreage and quarterly grain stocks reports.
Corn export sales in the weekend of June 20 totaled just 542,000 metric tons, down nearly 40% from the four-week average sales pace, still at the low end of trade expectations. Mexico easily topped the list of old crop buyers. USDA reported new crop sales of just over 139,000 metric tons, and Mexico topped that buyer's list as well. A general lack of concern about the supply side of the new crop balance sheet kept sellers in control of the corn market, even as traders prepare for tomorrow's potentially trend-setting data from USDA. December corn posted a high range open and fell to a new low for the close of the session. September corn futures were 3 cents lower at 422.5. December corn down 2.75 cents to 433.75. March corn futures closed at 446.25, down 2 cents today.
We've got southern areas that are too dry. We've got northern areas that are too wet. And this corn market just does not want to show concern over the supply side of the balance sheet. We'll talk to Jeff about that coming up here in just a bit.
Well, Chip, soybean export sales in the weekend of June 20 totaled 283,000 metric tons. That was just short of trade expectations. USDA this morning also reported the sale of 120,000 metric tons of U.S. soybeans sold to unknown destinations for delivery in the 24-25 marketing year. Soybean meal sales in the week were solid at just over 219,000 metric tons, and the export sales report for bean oil offered a 10,000-ton net reduction in sales. Yeah. November bean futures continued to drift to the downside, but the market is finding buying interest just above $11. August beans today, 6 cents lower, 11.36¼. September beans down 4¼ cents to 11.03. Novi beans closed at 11.04¾, down 2¼ cents, Chip.
I'll have to check this, but I think the November 25 contract did tick under $11 today, so we'll have to watch it.
Cotton export sales, weekend of June 20, 90,600 running bales. That was about half the four-week average sales pace. December cotton today, 76 points lower, 74.58. On your livestock, August live cattle today, 30 cents lower, 186.40. August feeders fell $1.12.5 to 260.65. And on the snout side, July hogs today, 45 cents lower at 89.45. Chip?
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Yeah, the November 2025 contract did close today at 10.98. So first close under $11. Oliver Slope, Blue Line Futures, joins us right now. How you doing, Oliver?
All things considered, Chip, I'm doing halfway decent.
Good, good. What's what's got you optimistic?
Oh, that's a tough one. you know, I I feel like we're you know, getting to a point in corn where we're hopefully be able to carve out a low. It just seems like there's been a tsunami of bearish headwinds to get through this week, and ahead of a USDA report, they just don't make it easy on us. So I think, you know, once we get through the USDA report, get July futures into delivery, turn the calendar over to a new month and a new quarter, potentially we can start to spark a little bit of relief. That doesn't mean the bottom is in for the year by any means, but it does mean I think we can probably see some relief. And, you know, we started to see it in the wheat market today, which was certainly encouraging. Weekly export sales came in. I think it was a 23-month high. So that was encouraging. And on top of that, we were able to defend the lows from back in March where previous buyers were stepping in earlier in the year. So if we can start to see, you know, some of these other markets stabilize, I ought to believe that would lend hand to corn and soybeans. Nobody knows what tomorrow's report's going to bring, but, you know, one thing I'd be potentially looking for would be kind of a fundamental rejection, where if we do get more bearish news and the market rejects lower prices, I would look at that as a very friendly sign. So
exactly, yeah. It's unbelievable the potential reactions to tomorrow and the data that we get, and what it might mean for us going forward. All we know for sure is that this tomorrow in history, there is a history that it either accelerates a trend or changes a trend. One of the two, and we got to watch for it. So,
amen.
All right, Oliver. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Take care.
All right, Oliver Slope, Blue Line Futures. Jeff Peterson, Heartland Farm Partners, is coming up next here on AgriTalk.
We all know the expression, make hay while the sun shines. Well, by the look of things, the sun is starting to shine on interest rates again, which means it's a great time to team up with a lender that knows the business of farming, FBN Finance. With flexible terms and rates and pre-qualification for farmland loans up to $3 million for qualified applicants, you can trust FBN Finance to shed light on your ideas to expand your farming operation. And right now, get $500 off closing costs for farmland loans over $250,000. Start your farmland loan today at fbn.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance LLC and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions may apply. NMLS ID 1631119.
AgMarket.net is releasing its upgraded app. The AgMarket.net app with revised MyFarm software is now available on Google Play and the Apple App Store. A desktop version is available through the website. Evaluate multiple profit scenarios, maintain a dashboard of farm marketing operations, and view local cash and futures bids. Track production costs, calculate dynamic break-evens, and record crop sales within multiple farms. Download it today. Head to AgMarket.net or call 844-4AG-MRKT to learn more. There's a risk of loss in trading futures under options.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report, and more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
June is Dairy Month. Did you know that more than 96% of Wisconsin's dairy farms are family-owned, producing over 30 billion pounds of milk every year? That's nearly 14% of total U.S. milk production. The lure of Wisconsin's picturesque dairy farms, pastures, and rolling hills help make tourism one of the state's top industries. This June Dairy Month message is brought to you by UtterTech. From waterproof bib overalls to cloth towel aprons, UtterTech products can make your life easier on the farm. Find out more. Visit UtterTechInc.com.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
The truth is hard to come by these days, unless you listen to AgriTalk.
You all right? Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Glad that you are with us on this Thursday afternoon.
My voice sound different?
Yeah. Every time I talk to you, it sounds different.
I feel boomier or something today.
Well,
it's my radio voice.
I think it might just be better looking and taller.
Well, that wouldn't surprise me. You know, I lose track. I lose track. You know?
I understand.
Is it possible for Davis to be taller?
No one knows. We don't have the technology to forecast accurately, Joe.
Well, you know,
safe bet is yes.
It's those taller pills that he's taking. He just keeps waiting for those things to kick in. Hello, maybe they have.
Well, I already took all my smart pills, so I got to take something.
Smart pills are just pork burgers.
They are.
That's all that is.
Busted.
Smart pills are ham sandwiches. That's
so
all.
Good. Oh, I love a good ham sandwich, too.
All right. Jeff Peterson, Heartland Farm Partners, is our guest analyst today. Jeff, how are you?
Well, doing great. How are you guys doing today?
Doing real fine. Real fine. Hogs and Pigs report was out a little bit ago at the top of the hour. It looks a little negative to me. All hogs and pigs on June 1 up 1.27%. Trade was looking for 0.8. Kept for breeding down 3.19%. The trade was looking at a 2.7% decline. And then the kept for marketing, this is maybe where I'm getting the negative read on it, up 1.68%. The trade was looking for a 1.2% increase. Anything jump off the page at you?
Well, it's interesting. I guess the 1.68% compared to the 1.2, you're exactly right. With the current hogs and current supply we have, that put a little pressure on the market. The interesting thing is you look out on that breeding herd, though. Expectation down 2.7, come down 3.19. So longer term, you know, we're going to have to watch that. Overall, at least in the short term for the feed side, as we switch back over to the grains, at least it looks like we're going to have some, you know, additional hogs out there to feed compared to what the trade was expecting a little bit.
Right. It's hard to bust that feed and residual number too far to the downside when we look at the amount of hogs that we've got on feed, the birds that we're feeding, and the feeder cattle that we're importing and putting in feedlots here in the States. It's hard to bust that feed and residual too hard, isn't it?
Yeah, I would agree completely. And that's what we've looked at. It's good to also see the ethanol margins come back around again. So we're chugging along nicely there. And, you know, it's really been interesting to watch the export demand on the corn side. You know, even though we're right on the very front end, Safrina corn crops right in front of us, boy, the rail bid numbers have been really strong in some of these areas. It's actually been leading the market. Not all. If you get a processor, they're still really hot on the basis side. But it's been good to see that, you know, we're competitive on the corn side for a while. Now, that will change here, but that's been positive from the demand side.
Do you think you're running short on corn out in the Western Belt?
Well, you know, I think it's a tale of a number of different items that are all coming together. If you were to all of a sudden just be beamed down here and have no idea about what's going on at all, Chip, you'd have to say, well, there's something really going on. You know, there was a bid over in the western, very western part of the Western Corn Belt yesterday for a very brief moment. Think about this, Chip, at 80 over. And it just happened to be an ethanol plant, and it was in Nebraska, a couple ethanol plants that just needed some corn, and all of a sudden, that's what they had to push up to. Now, that isn't the norm by no means, and that bid will go away very quickly, and it did very quickly. But what I think we're seeing out there is that in certain pockets, definitely yields were off last year, so stocks are down. But I think the bigger part really started clear back last year, about a year ago. And I think what happened back then is the farmer, as they were coming in for new crop, just didn't sell a lot of new crop.
Right.
And as a result, and the commercials will tell us that. And then the other thing that the quarterly stocks reports have told us for the one that came out in January and also came out in March, also told us that the farmer was holding more bushels as a percentage than what they'd historically owned. So the commercial didn't have a lot of coverage. And then all of a sudden, no one's been very thrilled about the price. And if you think about it, they have in the bin the highest price crop for the break-even side they ever produced. And then they also have got this crop they planted, the second highest. And so as we came through the winter, they're going, we'll surely get some type of bounce. But no, the market continued to go down. So I think what it's done is it's just kept a lot of those stocks on the farm. I think we'll physically see them and we'll get them and get them pulled out. It's just going to take a little time yet.
It feels like those on-farm stocks are coming, and I know that we're going to get the stocks breakdown tomorrow, but it feels like they've been coming kind of piecemealing to the market. Whenever you get a hot basis in a location for a day or two, something's moving. It's got to be moving, right?
Yeah, it definitely does. There's moments in time when the bushels are moved. So I don't believe it's all of a sudden that the bushels aren't there. There could be some minor differences like we see, but overall, you're exactly right. It's just taking a strong move. And the thing about it is that the farmer is not basis sensitive for the most part. So that's where you have to have these big pushes. The other thing that's came back around that's making it seem a little bit that way is that we've got some really strong rail bids, as I mentioned. And so that's taken a few extra bushels out of the areas in certain areas. And all of a sudden the commercials, don't have the bushels. The other thing that's interesting though, Chip, if you think about it, when they do the surveys and come up with basically the amount of bushels that are on the farm, their models are set really not necessarily to have this larger amount of bushels with the farmer. And this is going to be a bigger problem for NAS going forward because there's going to be less and less reporting and there's always questions on the accuracy, of course. But what ends up happening is that could give us a little bit bigger margin of error on the quarterly stocks report, because if you're surveying the commercial, I believe that the numbers are probably easier to get accuracy with than probably some of the numbers we get out of the farmers, and not saying anything negative about the farmer. It's just the nature of getting the information.
Yep. I agree. I think you're exactly right. As on-farm storage has increased, the margin of error has increased along with it in this grain stocks report. I don't think there's any question about that. Other thing on the corn, that feed and residual category that we were talking about, that's the one that can create creates a lot of uncertainty for the corn grain stocks report, isn't it?
Oh, tremendous amount, and that's where it always comes down to. Because you think about it, because we have very good visibility in regard to the ethanol numbers. With the weekly ethanol requirements that they have to report coming out from EIA, you get a chance to see those numbers. We know that for the most part, the export sales numbers, the export inspections, really what we'd see the stuff shipped out. There's going to be a little bit of difference, in that depending, because not everything that may get shipped out, if it's moving across the borders, maybe, going up into Canada and even sometimes down into Mexico, there could be some differences there. But most of that gets caught pretty well. But the big difference is the feed numbers. You're definitely right.
Yep. Okay. So that creates some uncertainty going into the quarterly grain stocks report for corn. What about on soybeans? There's not a lot of room for a misstep there, is there?
No, there's really not much room at all because the numbers are pretty locked down. Because of the NAPO crush numbers that we get, we know, and the amount of individual crush facilities that are members of that organization, that stuff, that very, very accurate there. And really what you're going to come down to on the residual side there is that will most definitely address what we end up seeing for differences on crop production.
Right.
Not to say we can't have it, but definitely it's much less likely to have.
Yep. Yeah. If there's a big, a quote unquote big miss on soybean stocks, it means that they need to change last year's production is what it comes down to there. It's a big day tomorrow, isn't it? It's like I said to Oliver, I said it will either accelerate the trend or change the trend is what typically happens coming out of this report day.
Oh, yeah, you're exactly right. And especially what we're seeing with this early push lower, at least it seems earlier to me, and the funds relentless selling in here. And the other fact that the funds didn't get long this market and they just shortened up on their long and then continued to sell off across corn, soybeans, and wheat. It's put this market in an interesting position. And I liked what Oliver said there. We may not be approaching the long-term lows that we could end up having yet between now and harvest. But in the short term, we're really getting this market overdone. It was really positive to see what wheat was able to do today. But the thing we have to remember about on wheat is that there are some world items that once we get past everything from our supply side here, that will start to get a lot more attention. And we're clicking past that 50% harvested or in that area. Yeah. So we know that in at least in wheat, basically harvest, we're getting very, very close to reaching that tipping point and being able to roll forward.
Gotcha. Good thoughts there. Really good thought there, Jeff. That's one that I hadn't been thinking too much about, that's for sure. Jeff Peterson, Heartland Farm Partners, is our guest analyst today. That's one of the reports. We've talked about one of the reports that's coming out tomorrow. The other side of the balance sheet is the supply side in acres. We'll cover it next.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
If you served, we want you to get the health care and benefits you earned. We want you to come to VA.
There's never been a better time to apply. Under a new law called the PACT Act, we've expanded VA care and benefits to millions of people who served and their survivors.
No matter where you served or how long you served, check out va.gov/PACT to learn more about what VA can do for you and your family.
Come to VA.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and check today's closes, where December hard red winter wheat futures were 12.5 cents higher at 6.11 1/2. December SRW wheat up 18.5 cents on the day to 6.01 1/2. September corn futures were 3 cents lower at 4.22 1/2. December corn down 2.75 cents to 4.33 3/4. August soybean futures 6 cents lower, 11.36 1/4. November beans closed at 11.04 3/4. That's down 2.25 cents on the day. December cotton today was 76 points lower, 74.58. On your livestocks, August fat cattle today were 30 cents lower at 186.40. August feeder futures fell 1.12 1/2 to 260.65. In July, lean hogs today 45 cents lower, all told 89.45. Get more market news every market day. Visit tryprofarmer.com.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
You've paid top dollar for that new truck. Protect your investment with a new fabric spray-on bedliner from Osseo Plastics and Supply. A fabric bedliner protects your truck from rust and corrosion, and the permanent protective bond protects your truck from scratches. The anti-skid feature keeps your cargo from sliding around. The eye-catching bedliner looks factory installed, conforms to your accessories, and will increase your resale value of your truck. Find out how a fabric spray-on bedliner can work for you. Visit osseoplastics.com for more information.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. A high pressure system dominates the day, bringing calm winds, partly sunny skies, and cooler highs in the mid-70s. Clouds will start to thicken tonight as light showers push in tomorrow morning, and then storm chances spark up again at night. If you owe back taxes, call Tax Solutions now, 1-800-281-8193. Right now, it's 75 degrees.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Do you suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at hashtag AgriTalk.
Say, Chip.
Davis.
Can I sneak in here really quick with some breaking news? Super quick. Yeah. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. It's me, your pal Davis, and Chip Flory here. This from KWWL.com in Waterloo, Iowa. Cedar Rapids closing Cedar River boat ramps due to water levels. This updated 13 minutes ago. Just the byline here. Cedar Rapids will be closing access points and boat ramps to the Cedar River on Thursday night due to rising waters. The level of concern is rising along with the waters. Now it's down there in Cedar Rapids. Chip?
Yeah. Cedar River, early 2 weeks ago, Davis, the Cedar River just looked pitiful. Maybe it was more than 2 weeks ago. Maybe it was a month ago. But, I mean, it just looked pitiful. Could walk across it. Now in Cedar Falls, there at Washington Park, Washington Park's under 10 foot of water.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it is crazy.
So you're not going to be doing any Frisbee golfing today then? No,
I'm probably going to stay clear of that. But
it's just, and we
had the conversation with Mike Steenhook from the Soy Transportation Coalition on this morning show about some of the disruptions that are happening out there, including that BNSF rail bridge that went down up in northwest Iowa.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
Yeah, they're rerouting through Creston, which is southwest Iowa. Talk about some challenges that those people are that everyone is dealing with in the area. And unfortunately, it's raining. I don't think it's real heavy rain up in Minnesota, south and northwest Iowa right now, but it is raining.
Sure is.
Yes, there are some heavier rains in east central South Dakota, and a line of showers is starting to develop in eastern Nebraska. Jeff Peterson, Heartland Farm Partners, is out there. Jeff, what is the situation? Is it too much rain, not enough rain, just right? What's going on?
Well, you know what? You actually hit all the things that are actually going on here in Nebraska. Is for the most part, you know what? We're sitting actually pretty good. There's a few pockets up there in the very northeast corner that did catch and snag some of those very heavy rains. We definitely feel for anybody who is along the Missouri River. Yeah. There's flooding that's happening along there. Talked to a client this morning, up in that Decatur and Blair area. And if you look at what the flooding is, you know, it's worse than it was in 2019 for the acres that's getting taken out of production. The only thing about this is that, you know, it's nothing like what we had in 2011, but it's headed up that way. It won't get that way. This rain, though, and the amount of time that it's going to crest, we're getting close to cresting as you get through that area right now. So it's definitely going to take, you know, basically acres out of production, unfortunately. But it won't do the damage like what we had back in 11, at least.
Okay. Which brings us to the acreage report. How in the world can we I'll just put it this way. How in the world can we trust the numbers on planted corn and soybean acres that we're going to get tomorrow from USDA?
Well, I don't think we'll be able to, Chip, and I think what we'll see them say is, as everyone's expecting, this is nothing new. There'll have to be some special surveys done, right? That's what happens when we have a little bit later planting. And I realize, according to the five-year average, this didn't really look like a later planting, but in pockets, it definitely was later than what we'd like to see. And as a result, there have to be those special surveys redone. And I think that's the way the market's going to look at this. I don't think from really the planted acreage side, we're going to see anything negative that's going to come out. And even if we ended up seeing, you know, I'm a little confused by the average trade guess estimates, I guess. According to the Dow Jones numbers, you'd have the corn number up, you know, at 90.269, which would be up 233,000 from the March perspective planning. And on the soybean side, 86.861, up 351,000 from the March perspective. I don't think we're going to see that. But even if we got that or something higher, I think what the trade would say, yeah, but you know what? That survey was done. And when they sent that out the last few days of May, first few week or week and a half of June, a lot's changed since then. And, yeah. And back then, everybody was talking about, what do you have planted? And do you think you're going to get stuff planted? Now, I think there's going to be some adjustments there. And as a matter of fact, I think we could see really that corn number even come in, having said everything I said, could come in lower than what the trade's expecting. I don't think it'll be so much lower that all of a sudden that's one of the items that gives us a bounce higher out of here. But stranger things have happened, Chip.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of uncertainty that's going to be associated with this acreage number. And they're still going to have to ask the question because of what you said, Jeff, because there were pockets that it was a late planting season. For both corn and soybeans, they're going to have to ask the question, do you still intend to plant those acres to corn? Do you still intend to plant those acres to soybeans? So I think that brings some uncertainty into it as well. And then yesterday, we were on the Farmer Forum. We had Sherman Newland on from Southern Illinois, and he was talking about how quickly the soft red crop is coming off and that how that has got some guys, even though we don't have a super sharp bean market going right now, but those guys that are getting and got the soft red crop off early, quote-unquote early, it just opens up more opportunity for double crop beans and more acres and for beans on that wheat ground. It, boy, there's a lot to settle out yet this year, isn't there?
Well, there's a lot to settle out, and the interesting part is going to be is that it won't get settled out here in this report, so we'll go forward.
Right.
But a couple of things I want us to kind of think about.
Yes.
When we go back and look over time, I'd say there's a number of years that stand out where when we look at what the prospective planning was and also then what the May WASD numbers became and what they used for the numbers, how you see a difference from that to the time we get to the planted acreage. And the years that stand out were basically we and actually last year stood out, but that was not because of prevent plant. That I think was just because of some misses that happened on the surveying side when they were putting together that prospective planning. But 2022, 2020. So to give you an idea, in 2022 across corn, beans, and wheat, when we looked at prospective and the May WASD versus what the planted acreage number came in, it was down about 2.7 million acres. 2020 down 5 million, 2019 down 6. Now, 2015 was up 500,000, but what do all these years except for 2023 have in common? Those are years in which prevent plant goes up. So to give you an idea, on average, if we go back through 2007, prevent plant is going to average somewhere around about 4.8, 4.9 million acres per year.
Right.
Currently this year, we've got our number at about 5.3 million acres.
Okay.
In comparison, last year, 2.5 million, but 22 was another uptick. That came in at 5.3. Then in 21, you come in at 1.2. 20, we came in at 8.9. And then obviously in 19, it was a really big number at 18.1. Now, the reason I bring that up is that the trade is leaning to think, oh, we actually could see across corn, beans, and wheat, they're saying 663,000 acres. We're being conservative and we're saying, I don't think so. I think we actually could see it come back the other way. It could be down and it'll be more than this longer term down the road. But in this report, we could be down about 1.5 million. The foundation for that is that even though we know this report will not encompass everything, years in which we have higher amounts of prevent plant, that does have a tendency to really kind of mess with the market expectation, but it also has a tendency to bring in those planted acreage numbers lower than what the prospective planting number is.
And Jeff, if they can't find evidence of that for the June report, when is the next good chance for the market to gain a better understanding on planted acres?
Well, I mean, I think so here's what I'll come back to. They can do a special survey, you know, and depending on when they release that, unfortunately, what that means is that maybe we'd get a chance to see it, probably won't get a chance to see it in July. We'd then have to physically be out, I would say, in those August numbers. But there's a chance we could see it for the July numbers. But here's the thing we know for the August numbers, though. At least when we get to the August numbers, usually that is a very good place where RMA has released their data, or at least the data is accessible to be used in the August report, and that data then can be brought in. Now, we know when those numbers are brought in, you got the RMA data, you've also got the FSA data. Now, normally, you don't get everything brought together for August, but what we've learned over time is that for that August report, you usually have a pretty good feel of what's going on there with the prevent plant side.
Right. Okay. You know, and the FSA data, the industry analysts have gotten very good at interpreting even the August data, as far as I can tell, Jeff.
Yes.
They do a really nice job determining what that means for final numbers, don't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they most definitely can.
Yeah. Yeah, no question about it. All right.
Now,
30 seconds here. Okay, real quick.
We got to think about planted and harvested acres percentage, because that percentage is going to come down, so that's going to further reduce the acres.
Yep, very good. I'm still going to give you 30 seconds. Price outlook into the fall. What are your real quick thoughts?
Yeah, so if everything would go as the WASDE report is right now, what we'd be looking at would physically be coming in at about $4 December corn. Now, I don't think that's where it's going to come in at. I think actually if you go ahead and reduce acres and ultimately adjust for harvest and planted and brings basically your yields down a couple bushels, could be as much as 4 bushels, you could come in around the 445 area.
Gotcha. Jeff, great job, man. Thank you so much for your time.
Always enjoy talking to you guys.
You bet. Jeff Peterson, Heartland Farm Partners.
When your reputation is on the line, go to the Midwest leader, Bauer Built Tire and Service, for all your tire and service repair needs. They've been supplying cars, SUVs, light and medium truck tires, as well as farm tires since 1944. Plus, they've built their reputation on services such as alignments, brakes, and suspension work that will exceed your expectations. Stop in today at Bauer Built Tire and Service on Mall Drive in Eau Claire and in Durant. Bauer Built, built on service.
The Maiden Rock Area Community Association invites you to Party in the Park this Saturday from 2 to 10 at the Maiden Rock Village Park. There'll be 4-H food, games and crafts, a kids train, kids rides, music, face painting, and a magician too, along with fireworks and much more. Admission is free. It's the Maiden Rock Area Community Association's Party in the Park this Saturday from 2 until 10 at the Maiden Rock Village Park. June is Dairy Month. Did you know the first dairy cow in America arrived in the Jamestown colony in 1611? Until the 1850s, nearly every family had its own cow. Now, while you could walk the family cow upstairs, you couldn't get it back down to the pasture because a cow's knees are unable to bend properly to walk downstairs. This June Dairy Month message brought to you by 24/7 and West Wisconsin Telecom, building fiber optic smart communities from the ground up. Visit WWT.net for more information.
Together, we're living in a smart rural community. A smart rural community is connected by a fiber optic broadband network for economic development, education, healthcare, government services, security, and more. 24/7 in West Wisconsin Telecom is a small local company with a big vision to develop and maintain a fiber optic broadband network that connects smart rural communities from the ground up. To learn more about smart rural communities, visit 24/7 in West Wisconsin Telecom online at WWT.net.
Farmers are watching rates and looking for their best financing options. Here to talk with us about that is FBN Finance Sales Director for FBN, TJ Wilson. TJ, share what the current market looks like to you and how FBN Finance can help farmers with their land financing.
Absolutely, yeah. Rates continue to be volatile here over the last few weeks with the recent Fed decision and them hinting that rates are going to go lower, but maybe not in the near term. Farmers can definitely keep that in mind, and we're happy to be here to help them look at what the best financing option is for them overall on their land.
Outstanding. How does someone decide which loan term is going to be best for them for their situation?
Yeah, every operation is different. Here at FBN Finance, we're really focused on the family farmers, and we try to take a unique approach to each farmer's operation. Our team has an average tenure of over 15 years of ag finance experience, and we really try to lean on that expertise to figure out the best financing solution to them. The team works to understand their operation and really provide them the best loan tools for them. And we're here to partner with them and for them through their journey. FBN Finance has committed over $2 billion in funds over the last 4.5 years to farmers.
You know, experience is something that we need to lean on when we're getting into this. How can someone get in contact with the experience on your team?
Yeah, we try to provide a simple online application so you can really get the financing based on your time. You can get that started by going to fbn.com/agritalk or call one of our lenders directly at 833-FBN-LEND. That's L-E-N-D. Right now, our AgriTalk listeners can fill out a form and speak to one of our loan advisors, or call directly and mention AgriTalk, and you're eligible to save $500 on your closing costs on a land loan, $250,000 or more.
Fantastic, TJ. Thank you so much. That is TJ Wilson, Director of Finance Sales at FBN.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm Kelly Clarkson, and as the daughter of a school teacher, I know just how important education is. No matter how old you are or your situation, continuing to learn will enrich your life and help remove barriers you didn't even know were there. So much opportunity, y'all. Whether it's a foreign language, history, or a different way to look at things, take some time each day to learn something new. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Ty Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey. Oh. Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk.
We are here to charge your batteries with knowledge. With a little bit of AgriTalk.
I run on ethanol and gasoline. There's no battery operated here.
Attaboy. Attaboy. You're going to fix the planet single-handedly, aren't you?
Darn right.
I love the enthusiasm.
That's right.
Fires me up.
There was a time when we said that the crop tour ran on gasoline, mm-hmm. nicotine, mm-hmm. and caffeine.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the eens.
Yep.
Yep. Not so much that much anymore.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Okay.
Still a lot of gasoline.
I want to start with Oliver, his characterization of this week's market action thus far, a tsunami of bearish headwinds.
Yeah.
This week.
Mixing things up a bit there, isn't he?
Well, and I kind of got a little bit, yeah. I was thinking about the wheat's, I don't know. See, because I don't know if I was ever comfortable calling wheat a leader. Corn and beans did follow wheat there. Yeah. A little bit, at least a couple of days, but now we got wheat higher and corn is like
wheat was definitely setting the tone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, this is helpful. Yeah.
Yeah, wheat was definitely setting the tone. So when it was just under the persistent pressure, what was it? 18 out of the until today, I think it was 18 out of 20 days.
That's right. Yes.
With yep. a lower close, something like that. I mean, it's just yep. ridiculous. And so we get a big boom to the upside today. I think the Brian Grady this morning on Markets Now made a point of coming back to the Canadian all wheat acreage estimate that we got this morning. You had it in the mm-hmm. news. Mm-hmm. That probably helped the wheat market today. And then I hate to go back to Russia and Ukraine and Kazakhstan on the crop watch that's happening over there, but we can't lose track of it. Of it came back to us this week. Egypt bought wheat earlier this week. I think they bought 160 Russian. It was 80 Ukrainian, 80 from Kazakhstan, and there was one other small supplier in there. But that's how important this, when your number one wheat buyer in the world, or it used to be the number one wheat buyer, I think they might be again. When Egypt is buying wheat and sourcing it from that region, you got to pay attention. There's just no question about it. And I think it, as dry as it is in southern Russia, I think that's probably a little bit behind today's. What am I saying? Don't work too hard to find the fundamental reason for a rally in wheat after it was under so much pressure for so long. A little bit of short covering is all it takes. And it may have just been, you know what, enough profit is enough profit. Let's just get out of it. I'm not going to work too hard on finding the reason why.
This may be a moot point given Jeff's take on the upcoming report here, but Oliver also did say a fundamental rejection of this report could mean the trend will either accelerate or reverse. You added that in. Flesh that out a little more for us, please.
Okay, what Oliver did was say, guys, get ready. It could be a negative number, but the silver lining here is if the corn could find a way to close higher with a negative number, whether it be a negative acreage number or a negative grain stocks number, if corn could somehow find a way to close higher, that would be a rejection of bad news, and that's the kind of thing that typically ends an extended downtrend.
Okay.
So he was laying out here's the best case scenario if we get a negative number. Now, conversely. What if we do not get an increase in corn acres? What if the grain stocks are right at or maybe even a little bit below trade expectations? What if that happens and the market goes down? I just laid out the worst case scenario for you.
Then we're very concerned. Yeah.
Right. 4.873 billion bushels, by the way, is the average trade guess on June 1 corn stocks. 4.873 billion. Soybeans, 962 million. Wheat, 684 million, which is the carryover estimate.
The Planet Acreage report, it almost kind of felt like once we got done talking about it, the idea was, and I'm curious how much the trade feels this way, sort of feels a little bit like, well, we know there have been problems out there. Some of it was replanted. Some of it was planted too early, some too late, yada, yada, yada. In which case, we need to run a special survey supplemental on the back end for this. Do traders clue into that? I mean, are they looking at it like, well, the Planet Acreage, we don't even know yet, kind of a thing?
Yeah. They absolutely will focus on that. The reason that becomes important is if you think that a smaller than expected, so in other words, 90 million acres instead of a 90.3 million on the corn planted acres. Let's say it comes in unchanged from the intentions at 90 million.
Okay.
That could be negative.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
And because all it does is it gives the funds. If they then say, but we have to resurvey because of this and because of that and because of this and really figure out just how many acres finally got planted, the expectation is going to be, well, that finally got planted number is going to be bigger.
Yeah.
Okay. Boy, I'm telling you, it's a big day tomorrow. Big day.
I'm excited.
Tomorrow. National Weather Service 6 to 10 day outlook July 3rd through the 7th. Near normal temperatures in the northern production areas, and I'm throwing all of northern Illinois, the very far northern part of Missouri, into that. Southern production areas are looking at above normal precipitation. Excuse me, above normal temperatures for July 3rd through the 7th. Above normal precip is expected over the entire Corn Belt for July 3rd through the 7th. Wow. Presidential debate tonight.
Yeah,
let's
yeah.
gear up for that. We're going to have the free-for-all tomorrow to talk about it. Tomorrow afternoon, Brian Grady, Pro Farmer.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I lack a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an important notice to all U.S. taxpayers. The IRS is giving away billions of dollars in tax savings through a federal program called the Fresh Start Initiative.